A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Please be seated. Well, in this psalm, David describes the negative effects of his sin, his own personal sin. And what I want you to notice is that his description of his sin, the effects of his sin, is three-dimensional. He describes the vertical, horizontal, and inward effects of his personal sin. And David begins by describing the vertical effects of sin, how his sin has affected God's relationship with him or his relationship with God. In verse 1, David prays, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. David is obviously feeling the Lord's conviction upon his guilty conscience. He senses the Lord's displeasure with him. In verse 2, he acknowledges that his suffering is the result of the Lord's chastening him for his sin. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. Understand, brothers and sisters, that above all other consequences of our sin, whether it is a sin of our action or of our attitude, of our words, or of some other nature, the first and foremost negative consequence of sin is that it is an affront to our holy God. It is an affront to our holy God. And this is why David wrote in another psalm, in Psalm 51, verse 4, he says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. In writing what David wrote in Psalm 51, we should not assume that he was unaware of the effect that his sin had in the other two dimensions. He knew that his sin had horizontal and inward effects in addition to the vertical effect, but he begins with confessing that he has sinned against God because every sin is first and foremost an affront to our holy God. Every sin we commit, therefore, has a negative vertical effect. Every sin we commit has a negative vertical effect. It displeases God. Now, in Psalm 38, David also wrote about the negative horizontal effects that his sin has. In verse 11, he describes how it caused division amongst his family and his friends. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand far off. And so we see from this that sin not only is offensive to our holy God, but it also hurts the people in your life. The more you sin, the more you hurt the people you love. Let me say that a different way. Your unrighteous anger hurts your children. Your lust hurts your spouse. Your failure to lead hurts your family. Your failure to submit hurts your family. Your rebellion hurts your parents. Your sloth hurts your employer. Your gossip hurts your friends. Your ingratitude hurts those that show love to you. And your pride, well, it hurts virtually everybody in your life. Sin, brothers and sisters, is never done in isolation. It has relational implications, that is, horizontal implications. And this is the second dimension that David writes about in Psalm 38. But let's not underestimate the third dimension that David writes about as well, and that is the inward effects of sin. Notice how much of Psalm 38 is dedicated to the effect that David's sin had upon himself. Verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. Verse 4, for my iniquity has gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. 5, my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Verse 10, my heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. Verse 17, for I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. Do you get the impression that the guilt of David's sin is weighing down upon him? Do you get the impression that David wishes he could go back and do things differently than he had the first time? Pay very close attention to what Psalm 38 is telling us, brothers and sisters. Not only is sin an affront to our holy God, and not only does it damage personal relationships, but sin also hurts you, the sinner. In this regard, sin is self-infliction. It's inflicting harm upon yourself. When we listen to the inward turmoil that David is writing about here in this psalm, we realize that sin is a harsh and wicked taskmaster. It is a harsh and wicked taskmaster. At the time of the temptation, sin paints a very rosy picture. Sin promises you happiness. It promises you freedom. It promises that nobody else needs to know what you're thinking of doing, and nobody else would be harmed if you choose to do it. This is something that you can get away with, sin promises to you. Or in some cases, if this is something that you do, if this is something that you want to do, sin says you can get away with it. Or in some cases, sin says if this is something you don't want to do, then don't do it and you can get away with it. But once you give in to the temptation, sin turns around and shows its ugly side to you. It begins to mock you. It extracts a very heavy three-dimensional toll from you. It negatively affects your communion and fellowship with God. It negatively affects your relationships with family and friends. And it negatively affects your internal peace and personal joy. David, however, while having experienced all three of these dimensions because of his sin, he does not leave us guessing as to what we should do when we're groaning under the burden of our sin. He writes in verse 18, for I will declare my iniquity and I will be anguished over my sin. And what he means by anguished is sorrowed. He's saying that he's going to confess his sin to the Lord as he experiences genuine sorrow for having transgressed God's holy law. Not genuine sorrow, not worldly sorrow because he got caught, or because now he's dealing with these negative consequences of his sin, but genuine sorrow, godly sorrow, because he has transgressed God's holy law. And David knows that the Lord will respond graciously to him when he comes in a manner of repentance. Verse 15, "But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer." And then David finishes the psalm with a plea to God and a profession of his salvation in the Lord. "Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation." So Psalm 38 is helpful because it shows us the three-dimensional effects of our sin. But it doesn't merely show us the vertical, horizontal, and inward harm that is accomplished by sin. This psalm also shows us how godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, which is not to be regretted. So brothers and sisters, do you sorrow over your sin in a godly manner? Do you sorrow over your sin in a godly manner? Then let that sorrow produce repentance unto the Lord. Call upon him as David did in his time of distress, and the Lord will answer. And because repentance includes confession, we have a regular practice of confessing our sins to the Lord. And so let's do that now. We'll begin our confession with a time of silence. And during this silence, confess to the Lord whatever he has burdened your heart with, whatever inward or horizontal or vertical burdens you're experiencing. Bring those to the Lord through Jesus Christ, and he will answer. He will respond with his grace and with his mercy. And after a suitable time of silence, I will then lead us in corporate confession. Let's pray.